I am Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show. Today we have Shannon Lee. She is a very passionate holistic health coach, and we're going to see what she has to say, because generally, you know, I think she's a pretty interesting person. You know, she's a U.S. Navy veteran, and she also recovered from a 5-year battle with the Gulf War illness, and she did this over 90 days. So that's a pretty big deal. And during her 20-year career, and with hundreds of successful clients, she has uncovered the secrets of becoming this master energy healer. And I think it's really focused on cultivating a sense of health and wellness. And you're kind of adopting this, she's trying to help you adopt this drive and to kind of push yourself into the direction to kind of feel you and help yourself. And I think when I'm bringing her on this show, I want to kind of figure out myself what she's doing to help people like us and sort of make a positive change in the world. Right. How's it going?
Great. Wonderful. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Good. So can you begin by giving me kind of a brief summary of who you are, what you're about, and what your message is?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, I am a Gulf War veteran, which was 20 years ago. And that was kind of where my journey began.
For serving our country.
Absolutely. It was my honor and my pleasure. And so that was where my journey began. Little did I know at the time. But yeah, so in Gulf War illness, hundreds of thousands of soldiers still suffer from this around the world, because it wasn't just America, UK soldiers, and it just everyone. And so it was, and people that are not familiar with what that is, it was illnesses that came about from environmental exposures, and those varied, but many of them, it started with the vaccines that we were given during that time in the event that we were going overseas. And some of those, the contaminants in the vaccines, you know, there's some pretty standard stuff that goes in them, but, you know, mercury and copious amounts of aluminum as quote unquote carriers, but there was also anthrax and different other kinds of bugs in there. So, you know, that affects people's bodies on a different level, you know, depending on where you grew up and what your environment was, and what you're doing to feed those or not feed those. So that's where I started. And I was from upstate New York, a very small rural town. And, you know, we're meat and potatoes people, German descent. We're sturdy women, and we're okay with that. But, you know, everything was all natural, and went through my service, had a wonderful service. I started feeling the effects of those inoculations about 3 to 4 years in. And then, but I didn't know that that's what was causing it. You know, at the time, I just knew how I felt. And so that I transferred to active reserves out of regular active duty, active reserves. At that time, Clinton was kind of bringing the military forces down and rearranging, you know, different factions of the military. And so I transferred into the reserves and continued that for another 4 years. But as I kept going and working in the civilian world and also in the military world at 26 years old, I felt really, really bad. Like, I couldn't even imagine, like, was I going to wake up the next day? And if I did, was I going to feel any better? Or, you know, how are things going to look? And I would literally sleep 14 hours a day and be exhausted. So Gulf War illness is a combination of autoimmune conditions, neurological tics, disorders, restless leg, insomnia, IBS. Again, depending on whether you're male or female, and your constituents of your own makeup, how you react or respond to those, and what's going to, you know, where is it going to affect in your body? Where are you weak at? So little did I know when I went to the VA, and I just was at my wit's end. I'm like, I just, you know, it was very, very stressful and gloomy and dim. And I went to the VA, and of course they take all the tests that they have to give you at that time. And they're like, you're perfect. Yes, absolutely. You're perfect. All your blood works great. This, that. They do all these tests and they're all wonderful and it's all good. And they tell you it's in your head. It's an emotional condition. And that really didn't sit very well with me. And they offered me, you know, psych meds. And I'd never been a pharmaceutical girl. Just wasn't, you know, I know that we're given everything that we need, you know, from the creator, from a source that's already here. And even though some of those things are derived from that, there's also a little bit of alchemy that's involved in those pharmaceuticals that I'm not okay with. So, you know, it was my choice and I just said, declined. And I said, don't worry, you know, I'll figure it out myself. And little did I know when I said that statement, made that statement, the universe responds. So it brought me to Texas. Actually, the answer was in Texas, in Houston, as a matter of fact. And I went on a journey to Houston. I was going to go to Texas A&M for actually veterinary medicine. And while I was on that journey, I just totally got spun around and I went to work for a company who's still around today, been around for a very long time. One of the oldest Ayurvedic formulations company in the world called Himalaya Drug USA. And they've been making some amazing formulations for many, many years. And I got on their company and I started getting an education in Ayurvedic medicine. So it's 3,000-year-old, one of the oldest medicines in the world. And I had to learn about their products because I had to sell them and people couldn't even pronounce Ayurveda back then, especially in Texas. So, yeah, so the owner of that company had about 12 stores around the greater Houston area. Me and my business partner both ran one of those stores and, you know, brought them lots of clients. And in that time, I was able to do so well because I actually did self-heal from all of my, I would say about 90% of the Gulf War symptoms that I had been experiencing prior to that in really less than 90 days. It was probably closer to 60, but you know, as you keep going and you keep walking that, you know, that path, it really energizes you to just keep going and see what's possible.
This is a bit of a basic question on my part, but what is the Gulf War illness? Can you kind of give kind of more of a broad summary on what it is and maybe kind of the general impacts it has? Because when I met you, that was sort of the first time I ever heard about the illness to begin.
Yeah, most people are not aware of it. They don't, they have no idea about Gulf War illness. And actually a lot of people, even after the Gulf War, have it. It is a combination of autoimmune conditions. It presents like chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. And then along with that, you know, some of those other symptoms that we talked about as far as, you know, neurological issues and brain fog and just a whole host of laundry list of, let's say, symptoms that you could go through, depending on your own makeup and constitutionality. And then, of course, your diet has everything to do with it as well.
So with you, you mainly got the what I was getting from your story, you mainly got a lot of fatigue because you would sleep for 14 hours and you would still feel tired.
Exhaustion, complete exhaustion, and a lot of pain. Wow. A lot of pain, just overall malaise and physical, like your joints, you know, turn, you know, your joints hurt. Just your whole entire body hurts. And it really to the point that, you know, when we talk about fibromyalgia, it gets to the point where if people touch you, it can almost be like a burning sensation. Like, you know, it's kind of like neuropathy when people have neuropathy and their feet actually hurt that bad that they can't even walk on them. So it got really very, very painful and didn't look real promising. And so I kind of just fell into it, you know, it was something I was looking for, but it happened so unexpectedly, you know. And I was taking copious amounts of their formulations, which were phenomenal. I changed my diet to an anti-inflammatory diet, and basically everything just one by one week after week, then shorter and shorter day by day, through the detox, through the diet, and through the supplementation, they all turned around. And so what's really encouraging, but also upsetting at the same time, is there's many, like I said, hundreds of thousands of veterans that suffer from this, but also hundreds of thousands of people that suffer from chronic fatigue, that suffer from fibromyalgia, that have rheumatoid arthritis, regular arthritis, and they have all these different, you know, symptoms that are similar to the things that we had just all at one time, basically. And when I realized, looking back on it, when I finally had a name to what I had been experiencing, it took 20 years before I knew that it was even Gulf War illness. I didn't know that other people felt the way that I felt. I thought it was just me. And Mike Adams, who's the health ranger, he's an ex-Army Ranger, he did a report on Gulf War illness. It was the first time I had heard about that. And that was a couple of years back, like 2017, 2018, something like that. And I read it and I just, my mouth hit the floor. I was like, wow, that is every single thing, you know, no wonder, because, you know, one of the major components in there was anthrax. And obviously we all probably remember the whole anthrax ordeal and, you know, the scares that we had with that. And to have that in your body and you don't know it, when you know what's there, then you can investigate what to do about it. But when you don't know what you don't know, then you're just kind of flying in the dark, dealing with your symptoms in that way on a symptomatic level, as opposed to going after it and getting it out of your cells in a safe way so that you can build up healthy, generational, strong cells.
I think right now what I want to get into more is the treatment phase. How did that sort of go in? Because so for what I'm remembering, for 20 years you endured this without even knowing, right?
Well, for 5 years I had Gulf War illness. So it was a number of years through active reserves, and then a year that I was out is when I started. I went to Texas after that. After I stopped my reserve service, I moved to Texas. There wasn't any bases that were close to me, so I just discontinued my active reserve status and went to work full-time for Himalaya Drug Company. And so that that started me on that path. And I was just, you know, as quickly as that happened, I had to, it was really the sales that pushed me further than, you know, getting my health back, because I didn't know what to expect. I was not familiar with Ayurveda at the time. You know, growing up, we took some supplements coming from upstate New York, you know, things that we knew that we were deficient, omega-3s and seriously deficient in vitamin D and K2 and that kind of thing. So, you know, we tried to make up as much as we knew, but, you know, we didn't have access to a lot of information, just, you know, what's passed down to you. So I didn't previously have a passion necessarily for alternative health, but certainly when it changed my life, it became a serious passion and drive to, like, wow, that was a lot of just a whirlwind of, you know, mess at the age of 26, 28 to 30. I thought, if I feel this bad at this age, how am I going to feel 20 years from now? Well, guess what? It's 20 years from then. And because I started back then, and I've learned ever since, and things have evolved since then in the alternative health industry, in the supplement industry, and the knowledge obviously has exploded. And, you know, there's information and there's misinformation out there all the time. And there has been for many, many years. And so it's something that is really disturbing to me, but also is what drives me to put out the message that, listen, what you've been taught, what you think you know is healthy, it's not healthy. You need to rethink everything that you've learned, everything that you've been taught. You need to rethink it. And sometimes it comes down to common sense. It's funny, you know, I was talking to someone recently and, you know, they're like, here's this person that has a title of, you would think, authority in a particular area. And yet, if you look at them just on a very superficial basis, you can look at someone and know if they're healthy or not. Can you not? You can really see in someone's face, in their skin, in their muscle tone, in their eyes, you know, if they are truly healthy and have that knowledge of how to be that way, or they're really just speaking some words that were, you know, translated down to them to pass on to the masses and make it believable. So I know that sounds kind of harsh and kind of like maybe a little conspiratorial in that sense, but what I've learned over the past 20 years, going on 25 years, is just that. And, you know, if you read and follow me, you know that I've come to learn that your wellness is 100% mental. And I say that because the battle for your life begins in your mind, and your body doesn't go where your mind doesn't push it, right? And so my message is many different messages, but because of the background that I come from as a, you know, ex-military, and I coach those people and I consult with those people and help them as much as I possibly can to put them on the right path of wholeness and healing and what they need to do to improve their energy levels and, you know, get better sleep and be able to spend time with their family because they're not concerned that they've got to go out into the world. And, you know, literally some people would have to know where a bathroom was if they were going. And that's kind of a weird thing to say, but it's the truth. And it's a reality of people's lives that have to deal with stuff like that. Like, they have to know where a bathroom is, or they can't. The stress is overwhelming to be out in that kind of environment. So you really just have to want that for yourself. You know, you have to want to take that journey. It's not easy always, but it is actually more simple than you think. And when you see that someone who's done it, that had a whole host of things, and it only took 90 days. You know, these veterans out there, sometimes they wait 10 and 20 years to get disability for something. Most people are very familiar with, you know, Agent Orange that the Vietnam vets dealt with, and it killed many of them. If they just knew the products that they needed in order to get that chemical out of their cells, many of them would probably still be here. But because people are so ingrained in trusting the medical community, that's not what those people are trained to do. They don't know. In fact, they go to school for 8 years. Well, if they take a health, you know, class, it's an elective. They don't have to take it. They don't have to know a thing about it. And this is the reason that we see, you know, people in those positions, they don't look healthy. In fact, you know, the joke is that doctors and nurses, right, are the last people to take care of themselves. And it's absolute truth. It really is. They're so busy taking care of other people. And they have a lot of heart, a lot of them. But, you know, there are some ways that industry has changed, you know, when it comes to the money and that kind of thing. So I think we're moving into a time of more self-directed healthcare. And I think people really need to be more educated about their body and about what they put in their body, and understanding that your body is a sponge. Everything that you eat, everything that you breathe, everything that you think, literally everything that you think is energy, right? We understand that, right, Jimbo? It's all energy.
Yes.
And so let's get into that conversation. The thought, even the thought process of that constant negative type thinking. And I'm not talking about, oh, let's step into the power positive thinking train, although that's always good. But understanding that, you know, what you think about is what you draw to you. So when we talk about things like law of attraction, well, what are you putting out there? Because you're constantly creating your future with your thoughts, right? And so when we take that in perspective with healthcare, and, you know, somebody in one of those positions says, oh, you know, you have this quote unquote diagnosis, or you have this problem, and they say you have so much time to live. Well, you see people outlive those sentences all the time, right?
Yes.
But why? Because it's up there, right? They determine how long they live. And if they say, I don't receive that. That's like, that's energy coming at me, and I'm not receiving that because you're not my God, you know. Only the creator that created me knows every hair on my head and every cell in my body says when I'm done here doing what I came here to do. So, the thought manifestation, it has to be just more than power positive thinking, although that helps. But in order to actually carve out new pathways, you have to have a full sensory experience with what it is that you want to create in your life. The life that you want to have, you got to create it with every cell of your being, and so that it can actually manifest in your life. And that includes optimal health. You want to lose that weight? You can, but it's got to start here. You have to manifest that first in your mind, and you have to get that identity. I mean, one of the biggest problems is the identity. Once you get in that state of, oh, I'm broken, or, you know, I'm sick, or I'm this, or I'm that, you are creating, you know, your own identity. And so to try to be something outside that identity, you really have to, you have to have a full sensory experience of that. You can't just wish it. So starting with the identity, you have to step into a different identity.
Yeah, you know, I definitely agree on your perspective. I think that's very important, because do you have any, I was going to get into my experience, but I just want to know, what about your experiences? Do you have any experiences where you've noticed this with patients in general that tend to maybe be a lot more stronger willed?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think there's so much self-sabotage energy. And getting to the root of that can be a process. And I'll give you a personal example. So when I had my son, I was much older. I was 40 when I had my son, and he's 9 years old now. And so I was very fit. You know, when I had him, I exercised throughout my pregnancy. I was not concerned in the least that I would have any like postpartum issues, you know, losing that weight, that kind of thing. Boy, was I wrong. And the reason is interesting. It turned out, it took me many years. It took me actually 7 years to figure it out and to learn it. But I gained 80 pounds with my pregnancy, which was a lot for an 8-pound baby, right? So I did, you know, everything. I know the protocol as far as like how to lose weight, what it takes, like what you need to do. And with my background, I have that discipline to do it. And I could only get so much success. I only got to a certain extent, and I would only have so much success. And even with cravings and, you know, stress, which is huge, sleep will sabotage your weight loss in a heartbeat. And, you know, so I was trying to control all the controllables and still could only get to a certain level of success. And I was so frustrated, and I really had to dig deep inside. And we talked about energy healing, and I've been a Reiki master for also those 20 years, helped me overcome military PTSD. And I got back into another form of energy healing called inner resonance alchemy. And so using that, I kind of got to the root that I recognized in those formidable years and those subconscious years when your mind and your brain is creating the record. So we have, you know, the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the superconscious, right? And so that subconscious mind is being, it's being built and created from negative 6 months in utero till about 7 years of age, right? And so it's the record keeper of our body, of our experience. And so, you know, many of the things that happen to us during those years, we don't remember, right? Because our brain is not fully developed. And so, but what we do remember is kind of fairly profound. So what I remembering was that my mother, who has always been obese, and when I was a little girl, at the youngest that I can remember, at 4 years old, but throughout my whole life, but those formidable years of the subconscious mind, she would blame me for her being fat, for her obesity. It was my fault because I was the last child born and she could not lose the weight after she had me. And in her mind, it was just an easy scapegoat, you know. And I would, you know, argue with you, hey, I didn't have you drive through Burger King. I didn't tell you to stop and get that Snickers bar and I didn't force you to eat it. But, you know, that's a child's, you know, mentality at the time. But what I did realize when I finally realized it was that I held a lot of resentment for that because I knew that it wasn't my fault, you know, and even though I knew it wasn't my fault, I still felt responsible for it. And that turned into resentment. It turned into guilt. It turned into hatred. It turned into anger. All of these things that I didn't even know were there until that experience, you know, came through. And it all kind of played back to me. And then what I realized was that it was mirroring back on myself. And so once I got that revelation and started working through those blocks, so to speak, those energy blocks that came up and started working through them actively, it just started, you know, it started moving mountains.
Now, before I ask you about your history, as you were a Reiki master.
Correct.
Okay. What is the superconscious mind? I've never heard of that before. I've heard of conscious, subconscious, but not superconscious.
So the superconscious mind would be that the mind that is connected to the creator of everything. And so it is the mind that knows your genetic code. It knows how to bring everything back into alignment under the original conditions of your genetic blueprint. And so we work in that energy field. And basically you are taking your conscious mind and your subconscious mind, and you are coming into an agreement to allow the superconscious to take over, because it's just something that either you don't know about because it was something that happened at a time, either you compartmentalized it because of the pain or, you know, whatever the reason was, you just don't have a cognitive memory of it. Then you allow the superconscious to work through the subconscious and the conscious mind to bring that back into alignment for, of course, your highest good, your highest purpose.
Well, this is why I do these interviews. You learn something new every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're a Reiki master, right? So did you learn the practice online? Do you practice conscious breathing regularly? How does this all do?
Yeah, actually back then everything was in person. You know, we went through physical attunements, although it can be done, you know, through the ether as well. But back then we did physical attunements and we did a lot of practice. I did a lot of practice with animals because that was really my passion at the time, but also have done a lot with, you know, with people as well, a lot of distance work and feeling that energy and speaking through the superconscious field, if you want to call it, or the quantum field, whatever, you know, to kind of work within that energy and have it to, you know, send those healing, if you want to say, frequencies, you know, because everything is frequency. You know, as Tesla said, if you want to know the secrets of the universe, you have to think in terms of energy, frequency, vibration. So inner resonance alchemy deals with the frequency. And so it's that reason why things come back around, you know, it's that kind of that pendulum that swings. It's an oscillating structure. So we talk about, you know, the structure, and that's pretty much what holds them back from their next best level, you know, is that oscillating structure, and that they can't get out of that identity, that identity structure that we were talking about. So when I take people through our program, I hate to use the word program, but for lack of a better term, you know, to take them on the journey is probably a better word to use, and to start them there, that's where we start. We start with, you know, who are you? You really have to know who you are to be able to know who you want to really be, what your purpose is, to find your passions and be able to get there, you know, from where you are. And sometimes that seems like a big leap, but again, it's a matter of, you know, the only way that you can change the super conscious programming is through that. I'm sorry, through the subconscious program. The only way you can change the subconscious programming is through either repetition, creating different pathways, which takes a lot of repetition, or through that super conscious. I don't really want to call it healing because it's not really healing. It's just a shift. It's a shift in the energy. It's transmuting the energy, so to speak, and allowing for the better parts of yourself to come forward, walking away, changing your mind and moving in a different direction than what you've been doing in the past, because obviously that hasn't been working. And so, you know, many people are back here stuck in their past. They can't move past the trauma that they've been in because of the pain. And so, you know, that kind of brings me down this path of talking about the water. And so water, as you know, is, you know, universal elixir, so to speak. But what's really interesting about water, if you've ever studied any works from Dr. Emoto, Japanese scientist that studied water, and he had some really fascinating things to say about it, a lot of experiments that he did. But since the human body is roughly 80% water, it's something, you know, that's important to us, obviously. And the condition of that water is really important. So when we talk about filtering water, clean water, you can run water through 100 different filters and you can take out all impurities, right? Get to distilled water. You can take out all these different impurities. And does that make it clean necessarily? Maybe to a certain extent. But what you can't do with water is you cannot remove its memory. Water has memory. And so it makes an imprint. So when we have that trauma, it imprints in the memory, you know, of the water. But what you can do with it is you can nullify it. So if it's on like this, you know, this level of, oh, here it's up here, you know, you get the toxins out, but you have this level of memory, you can neutralize it. So it, you don't necessarily forget. It's not wiping out the memory. But what it does is it removes the emotion attached to it. And so that's the progression and the evolution that I've gone through with energy healing and Reiki Master. And it helped me to heal from, as I said, military post-traumatic stress disorder, which is much different than a complex post-traumatic stress disorder, which I've also, I can't say had the pleasure of experiencing, but it is something that I've had to experience and had to also find a means of healing, so to speak, through it.
So you have these skills, you have a strong history that changed you as a person. So I'm thinking now, how did this transition you into the business life? Because that must have been a pretty tough transition to now take your skills and then cultivate new skills on how to run a business and make cash.
It really has. And for many years, me and my business partner worked offline through referrals only. You know, we were not ready to tackle the internet, so to speak. But back actually December of 2019, I decided that people really need to know the things that we know. It was just important to be able to get out to speak and say, listen, you know, stop being so afraid to make decisions about your own healthcare. You need to be your own health advocate. You need to take responsibility for your own body, because everything that's going on in your body is something that essentially you've done to it. You know, yeah, we're born into a certain genetics, but you don't have to be a victim to your genetics as some people think that you are. You know, some of that is just environmental. It's passed down. You know, people tend to stay in the same area that their family stayed in, so they have the same environmental chemicals and hazards that were around their family. Oh, so, you know, my grandfather died of of heart disease. So, you know, now am I going to have issues of heart disease because my grandfather did? Well, I could if, you know, because my mother, the way that she cooked. And so most people kind of learn from their mother or their grandmother. And so you have these same, they say it's genetic, but it's really not genetic. It's just passed down from, you know, one generation to the other. This is how, you know, this is the food that we eat. This is how we cook, you know. And so that's up to you if you decide to do that. But you should really research into, like, you know, as we go through this progression of, we'll say, from the last 30 to 50 years, even, you know, there's things that have been changed in, you know, the creation of bread, even, you know, they used to put iodine in bread, right? And that's, your body has, every cell in your body has a receptor for iodine. And it's, there's a reason for that, right? Because iodine does so many things, you know, for the immune system and the thyroid and so many different hormonal, you know, processes. It's super, super important. And I will guarantee that 99% of the country, 99% of the people are deficient in iodine. Hence, you know, the thyroiditis and Hashimoto's and all these other things that are out there. And then, you know, there's lots of other deficiencies as well. Vitamin D, vitamin B, vitamin K, vitamin A is huge. It's huge. And people don't even know. They just don't know what they don't know. And it's really time to be educated on what your body needs to thrive and what it doesn't need. Because it's actually, like I said before, it's pretty simple. You just have to make a choice. You know, does it mean you give up certain things? Sometimes. But when you eat really well, 90% of the time, can you get away with doing something that's a little bit not so, you know that you shouldn't do it, but man, does it taste good. So you do it anyways, you know, if you want to call it a treat. But I'm telling you, once you do that, and you get that treat, it doesn't taste like so much of a treat anymore, because your body will revolt on you. It's like, oh no, you can't do that anymore. And then so you realize, like, wow, I don't like feeling that way. So although it excites your mouth and it excites, you know, the serotonin or the dopamine in your brain. So it gives you a false sense of like, ooh, this is really lovely. But when it hits the rest of the body and that kind of opioid sensor high in your brain goes down, then you're like, oh, I feel awful. You're like, okay, yeah, I'm done with that. And I don't know if I answered your question, because I kind of went somewhere.
No, you went in an interesting direction. I think this falls into, how do you actually run your regimen, like your anti-inflammatory diet and so forth? And
yes, okay.
What do you specifically prescribe to a lot of your other clients? Do you also help people with their Gulf of War illness? Do you refer people? Well, let's go in first to your system.
Yeah. So there's only so much that you can do on a kind of course-like level. Like I said, we give you the basics of, you know, here's what you want to avoid. Okay. Cause this is not going to help you in your progress. And here's what you really want to focus on. And you want to focus on what you can have, not what you can't have. Right. And so in making that as exciting to you as you can. I mean, people, they fail at diets. We talk about, you know, chronic illness and pain. They fail at diets because they think it's deprivation. They think it's starvation, you know, and it's not in, you know, in our work that we do, it's not deprivation or starvation, but it is a choice and something that, you know, if you want to feel a certain way, then you have to make good choices, right? You can't have, you know, donuts every morning and and expect to get to your optimal health goals. So that's, and I think people understand that that's kind of a given, but you don't have to be deprived by any means. It can be very satiating, very satisfying, and you can get creative. I love to cook. I'm a creative cook. So we give people the recipe, so to speak, to hit the weight loss goals that they might be looking for. If we're talking about obesity, if we're talking about chronic illness like diabetes, you know, there's other things aside from, you know, certain diet protocols that they need to do. There's certain toxins that pretty much everybody needs to get out now time. Seriously, now time. Some very serious, serious toxins that, you know, we learned about very recently that people need to start getting out of their body. If they think that they haven't been touched by it, they're absolutely incorrect. These are things that touches everybody. And if they don't start, you know, detoxifying their body on a regular basis, it's going to build up as it does. And then once things start building up through all the toxins, people don't realize that if you don't eat, aren't conscientious about eating a non-GMO and organic diet, that you are getting like 2 million chemicals in your body every single day. Every day. How do you expect your liver to process anything when all it's doing, aside from the sugar cycle, burning carbs all day long for energy, right? And or trying to detoxify all the chemicals out of your cells. It's overloaded. And so your liver really, it's the first thing that after your brain, your mindset and your thinking, your identity, your liver is the first thing that, you know, that you need to help. And so, you know, we give you the formula, then we talk about, you know, some of the specific things that you're dealing with, depending on, you know, who you are, what you like, where you live, what kind of products that you use, and start reversing everything that you've been doing. And it moves very quickly. You know, when you're determined and you're focused, it can happen very quickly. You just, you know, there's a little period in the beginning that, you know, you're going to dump oxalates, you're going to dump toxins. And, you know, we help you get through those things because we've done it for many, many years. So we know what you need to absorb those so that you can live a fairly normal life while trying to go through this. You know, people don't have time necessarily to take a week off, 30 days off, 90 days off to, you know, detoxify their bodies. But if they're doing it more slowly, they take certain products that help them to deal with some of those, what are referred to as Herxheimer effect, then it makes it more doable. And the more, you know, that you get out and the more, you know, every day you take that path, it gets easier and easier. And then one, you know, every day something changes. You're like, wow, like my body is changing. The weight, you know, comes off effortlessly. And if it doesn't, it's your body is, the constitution is changing. So where you might have, if you've ever seen someone that was 150 pounds of a carbohydrate diet, as opposed to 150 pounds of a, you know, more carnivore based diet, they look totally different. The composition of their muscles, their skin, their, how they look in general, because if you see what that 150 pounds look, fat is like 10 times bigger than muscle, right? Muscle's really lean and fat is just fatty and it causes inflammation, which makes you look even puffier, right? So, yeah, so we do that. And then we work also at the same time on some of those sabotage things that we talked about. If there's some mental and emotional blocks that need to be worked through, then we work through those as well so that we ensure success. If there's cravings, you know, is that physiological or is that emotional, right? You have to really, it's a journey into self, you know, realization, self-actualization, so that you can come out of the fire, so to speak, as this amazing new creature, new expression of yourself, the best expression of yourself. And so that's what we do. We transform people.
And another thing I'm thinking about is, what exactly is a toxin? Right? Can you kind of give me a gist of what that is?
Sure. It's typically toxins are chemical, you know, they're, but you know, you're familiar with the chart of chemicals, heavy metals like barium and mercury and aluminum and fluoride and lead and all of these, you know, all these different heavy metals, when they are built up in your cells, obviously they don't belong there, and your cells can't metabolize properly with them there. So it slows them down, which is going to have an effect on the ATP, you know, the metabolic process. And in that, they also have an effect on the candida, and the fungus, the yeast, and potentially mold. One of the biggest things that we see, people are not aware if they've been exposed to mold, they don't understand that it does get in the body. And when it gets in the body, it causes problems. It grows, of course, it wants to grow because it's, you know, survival of the fittest. And so it wants to grow, it wants to proliferate. And so it wants to take your nutrients, and that's what it's going after. And so it can cause a lot of problems, and people don't know what it is. Causes depression, can cause nosebleeds, heart, you know, could be asthma and heavy breathing and all these different symptoms that could be elusive. And you're like, what's going on? And it could just simply be mold, and you have to get that out of your body. So, yeah, so the toxins are, you know, things like in the food supply, highly toxic glyphosate is a product that is in typically in wheat, you know, in grains. And, you know, the seed of wheat doesn't look anything like it did originally. And it's not produced or processed in the way that it originally was. It's a completely genetically modified organism. So what does that mean? People need to understand what a genetically modified organism really means, and how does that affect you as you know, a being, as a person, when you're eating something that is genetically modified. First, it means they've taken the original gene code of that species, and they have spliced it with something of a different species. That could be anything, literally anything. So we take something like tomatoes, and apples are huge, all genetically modified organisms. And your body does not understand how to process those. It will process it because you've put it in your body. It's got to do something with it, but it doesn't utilize that fruit as fuel as it should. It utilizes what it can. And the rest of it basically is causing inflammation and making you sick. So, but if you take that in consideration as to how it affects with your genes, so we have our own genetic code, right? And when you're putting in the genes of what you're ingesting, and that's creating your next generational cells, right? If you're eating GMO, that's going to be deficiency. It's deficient in vitamins. Your body can't absorb it. You know, there's a saying, they used to say you are what you eat, but technically you are what you absorb. And if you're not absorbing the vitamins and nutrients because whatever reason you're deficient on certain vitamins and minerals, then, you know, your body is not performing the way that it needs to perform, not performing the way that it should. And it's setting up for some kind of disease. And if you want to throw in some stress cocktail on top of that, that just adds fuel to the fire, because stress will literally put everything in like a blaze of fury, because the cortisol shuts everything down. You know, cortisol, aldosterone, adrenaline shuts everything down, metabolically speaking, to under 60%, because you're in a fight or flight mode. And then that moves into the, you know, the vagus nerve system, which is evolving and coming out more and more as very, very important, where you're operating from. And when you're operating from that fear, fear is a spirit, right? And everything stems from that: anxiety, depression, panic attacks. Yeah, there's deficiencies that are contributing to it also, but it all starts with fear. So, you know, going back to the genetics of the food, you're not building strong cells. So your immune system is going to be weakened, because it's not performing the way that it should. You're stressed out, or you're operating from a fear-based fight or flight system. Then you set yourself on this path physiologically for chronic illness, pain, disease.
Okay. And this has been a very interesting talk, and we've hit a lot of different topics, but
we have.
I want to kind of now hone in a bit more on you and your philosophy. What do you think is one piece of advice you would give to yourself, your younger self?
Wow. That's a good question. Piece of advice, I would say, would have to be, don't ignore the red flags that come up in your, if you want to say, in your spirit, in your gut, in your intuition, when you feel like something's not right. That's usually correct. You might not be able to put your finger on it, what it is, but it's definitely worth finding out. What is it? What's not right? What needs to not be fixed, but what needs to be acknowledged? So to move forward, stop living in that past person. Come up to your quantum now time. Don't live in the past. Don't live for the future. You can create the future out of the present now time, but leave the past where it was. Learn from it and use wisdom to move yourself in a better direction. That's what I would probably say to myself.
Good answer. So another point, what are some final words, maybe some final lessons or takeaways now that you can also give to the audience here?
The takeaways, I would say, don't be fearful. Don't live out of fear. You can learn to support your body. When you support your body, it supports your mind, and your mind will be very clear, very focused. And when you have a clear and focused mind, then you're able to create the life that you want to create with ease. So stop focusing on what happened. Let that go. Forgive. And I don't care what it is. I know it's hard. Forgive not just the people around you for what you perceive that they might have done or might not have done that you think they should have done, but let it all go. Forgive them because they might not have known what they'd done. And if they did know, then their own conscience will have to deal with that. And you need to worry about yourself. You need to worry about you. And in order for you to move forward to be the best expression of yourself, you have to let all of that anger, resentment, hatred, bitterness, whatever it is, because I did it all, but I didn't know it was there. And I think all of those things, they also cause disease. And so one of the first people that you have to forgive is yourself. You forgive yourself for what you should have, could have, would have done, but didn't do. Or whatever it is that you need to forgive yourself for, forgive yourself for it and understand your worth.
All right. I'm Jimbo Paris, and this is the Jimbo Paris Show. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.